Hi, listeners. Welcome to the seventh episode of the Reading Coves podcast. Any book lovers who may be interested in joining our book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. Today, we're chatting about our August 2011 pick, Poison Study by Maria V. Snyder. Okay, so let's start with some brief introductions. I'm Millennia, the co-founder, and I'm from Florida.
And I'm Roberta. I'm one of the co-moderators, and I live in Georgia.
And today we are chatting about Poison Study, which is our August pick in the Cove, and it's our 129th pick. And it was chosen by Brenda, who's a longtime Cove member. She hasn't joined us today, but we love you, Brenda. And the author of Poison Study, Maria V. Snyder, was kind enough to answer some interview questions for us, which we really appreciate. Thanks again, Maria. Did you get a chance to read it, Roberta, her interview?
Yes, I did. It was very interesting. I thought, you know, it was very kind of her to answer the questions.
Yeah, she was really generous in explaining her process and how she got the idea for Poison Study and you know, the ideas for the characters and stuff like that. It was really good. So let's start chatting. Why don't you share a bit about how you liked Poison Study?
Okay, well, I don't read a lot of fantasy, or at least I should say I haven't that much in the past, though in the last few years I seem to have gotten into it more sort of by default. Mm-hmm. Books that were really hyped, the Aragon series books. You know, if you had told me a few years ago I was going to like books about dragons and such, I was like, nah. But I really got into it. The characters and the action kind of drew me in. Of course, I, you know, got drawn into the Harry Potter books like so many people. Mm-hmm. And even discovered a fantasy series through some other library patrons about dragons and flyers during the Napoleonic Wars. So, right. As I said, if you'd asked me a few years ago if I was going to read any fantasy books, I would say, well, that's just not my thing. But it has become not totally a comfort genre for me, but something I've liked to throw into the mix, and it's a big change of pace. So I did like this book, and it was different, even as I had posted in some of my discussion questions already, from the typical fantasy thing. So many times in the fantasy books, there's kings and kingdoms and mm-hmm. and all these different levels. Whereas this, in a way, it sort of was like a modern day thing where there's a dictatorship.
Yeah, more of a military style.
Yeah, more of a military background, and so that kind of added an extra depth for me to the story. And then also, so many times in fantasy books, there's usually a strong male characters and warriors and such, where this, of course, the main character is a female. So I was drawn to that. And I always like any sort of genre books that have a strong female character. As a female yourself, you can relate to it better, but it's just different from the typical male action hero. So
right, right.
I was drawn into this story, and it pulled me right in, and I was able to keep reading it. It wasn't a big effort as other things I might have had trouble with in the past that I felt like I had to read. But this, I really enjoyed reading. It was a quick read for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't really finish it. I read the first 100 pages, and then I just skimmed through to the end so that I would, you know, be familiar enough with what took place so I could discuss it. But the beginning was interesting, with Yelena being in the jail or wherever they had her, and she was scheduled to be executed next, and she was kind of just waiting for that. And then suddenly they come and tell her that they're offering her to become the commander's new food taster. And so I go, okay, you know, let's see where this goes. But it just ended up going in a place that just didn't interest, you know, it just lost my interest. I wasn't sold on Ixia, which is the setting, the place, the country, or wherever that they are. And it just didn't, I wasn't buying it, in other words. So I just couldn't take it seriously. And she was just put in too much, like, there was just too much coming at her at once. It was, like, unbelievable. It's like, you know, okay, everybody's trying to kill her. Now they want to send her to go run around in the forest and run from people. I was just like, okay, this is not even making any sense.
Well, I mean, it sort of reminded me a lot of these, you know, current action movies where you feel like it's really fast paced. So I could see your point of view, but at the same time, I think it reflects a lot of maybe readers or moviegoers' need for this like nonstop, over the top, you know, action. And
no,
so
I
this thing, instead
more
of having car chases and explosions, they had these attacks and all. So I think
it's more because it's a young adult fantasy.
Right.
I think it was Joyce said that it hit all the right marks. And I think, you know, that's probably accurate because,
right,
you know, that's the type of thing that type of video game sort of backdrop, right?
Right.
And she was definitely sort of like a video game character from what
right.
I saw in all the stuff she was doing, the training and, you know, the run she was doing and trying to outwit, and it seemed like a video game. So I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah, and then even like the uniforms and all, as you said, I could visualize these uniforms
mm-hmm.
that would fit into a certain thing to make everybody be put into certain categories by their association with the leaders or their rank or whatever. So as you said, it did, and it may not appeal to all, you know, adults. It was, I think, maybe marketed more for young adults, where that's the growing market apparently these days. The young adult readership and sales are up, where the adult books seem to be sort of flat or declining to a certain point. So
yeah.
I think a lot of these authors have to know how to gear their stories to the market, whoever is the ones who are reading the most.
Right. It's true. And if this book has done very well, like Maria said in the interview, I think it sold over 200,000 copies all over the world, and it's published in a lot of different countries, many countries. So it's doing really well. And
right.
I think many of the Cove members who have read it so far have commented have really enjoyed it. So that's good. That's really good. But it just wasn't my cuppa, like I was saying to you before.
Yeah, and it can't be, as I said, not everybody's into fantasy. I've known people that their whole lives, they'll tell you that's about all they read, and they'll tell you they're all about elves and dwarves and dragons and supernatural beings and unicorns. And that wouldn't necessarily appeal to me as just in itself. I need to have more of a story or characters you can empathize
for. That pulls you in. Yeah.
It pulls you in, or you can cheer for. And, I mean, these maybe weren't perfect characterization, and I'm thinking even when she wrote this first book, this wasn't going to be the closure. It was a planned part of a series book, as so many of these books, both adult and young adults, are these days, that you can kind of map out your characters and the exposition, the introduction to the whole situation, and then go from there and grow and mature your characters as you go along. So.
Yeah.
If this had been a standalone, I think I would have been a little disappointed with the ending. But since you know there's more to go on later on, then it did kind of cut it off at the right point without dragging out too long.
Yeah, for any of our listeners who don't know, in case you don't know, there are two more books in the. It is a trilogy, right?
Right.
I think after this comes Magic Study.
Magic Study. That's what you said in the back of my book. Yes.
And then what's the last one? I
oh,
forget.
Me too.
But there's a third one. There's a.
I'm not prepared. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But yeah, there's a. It's a trilogy, and I don't know. I'm still looking for a fantasy novel that I can really enjoy, because I guess I'm a tougher critic when I read things, and to me, of most of the fantasy books that I've read, it's too easy to make stuff up. It's just, that's too easy. It needs to actually make sense, however you're making it up. So even if you're creating this alternate world or reality, I need to be able to buy into it. And I guess I'm a tougher sell when it comes to that. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
It kind of has to really, I have to be able to believe it. And it's harder for me to do that if it's just like made up stuff. And, you know, like in this one, when that woman appeared to Yelena in the forest, I was just like cracking up. I couldn't take the scene seriously. I was just laughing. You know, it was so funny to me because it's like, okay, it wasn't doing anything for me. I couldn't buy it.
Yeah, I think of those things you have to almost, as I say, suspend disbelief. And
yeah, and I have a really hard time doing that.
Well, it's getting easier for me. It didn't used to be, but I'm getting a little bit better at that with different things I've read in recent years. But and you have to kind of go with the flow in some of these books and think, okay, well, this, you know, is a little silly, but it'll probably get better a little bit, few pages. And a lot of times they'll kind of bring things back around in the right track, even if it gets off track a little bit.
Yeah.
And some people like little sidetracks or diversions, little digressions in their reading.
They
don't want to plod along.
It wasn't even so much that her appearing there, her powers and stuff, but it was their conversation. Like what the conversation just seemed so disjointed to me, and like what she was telling her that, you know, like she could get into her mind and she could read her mind and she could do this and all that. That's fine. But then it's like, well, you know, does she want to kill me? No, I don't want to kill you. I want you to do it. I don't know. To me, it was all over the place.
Well,
and
that scene, you're right. That scene could have flowed a little bit better.
Yes,
that wasn't
what
my
I'm
favorite scene
say.
Either. But I said, overall, you know, it was something the author probably felt she had to include as part of the story.
Yeah.
But that was probably one of the less coherent, maybe, scenes in the book that it could have probably been edited a little bit more closely and made for a little bit more cohesive part of the storyline.
Yeah, I did like the aspect. Let's talk about what I liked. I liked the fact that the butterfly dust. When Valak told Yelena that she was going to be poisoned with butterfly dust every day and she would need the antidote and that would make sure that she did not run away. That's how they secured the food taster.
Yes.
And I thought, that's very clever.
That is. That's better than any leash or chains, for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. That is extremely clever. And so I like that aspect. And I could see a mild way that Rand was going to turn on her. He wasn't her friend. He was too nice. You
right.
know, it was obvious to me.
Yeah,
so
he was kind of smart,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was too good to be true in light of because the way that everything was against her, like if anything can go wrong, it does.
Mm-hmm.
For her, when somebody is being really, really nice to her, you have to suspect them.
Right, right.
Of something. So that kind of was obvious to me.
Well, yeah, because I mean, at least you think with Valak, he may be, you know, tough on her, but it was for her own good to make her stronger and to make her be aware of these dangers that were surrounding her.
All
so,
around. I think she was really aware of it, though.
Well, yeah, she was aware of that, too, but I'm just saying, I think she could understand more someone being a little bit tough or pushing her or nudging her a little bit more just for her own protection, even though she might have rebelled against it a little bit.
Yeah, and as for the relationship with Valak, there was no chemistry. I didn't feel any chemistry between them at all. So it just couldn't go anywhere for me. I think it would have been more, I was expecting the king to fall for her.
Right.
I was kind of looking for that and because I didn't feel any chemistry with Valak.
No, I mean, I wasn't totally surprised because you figure, well, they were so close that there could be a romance, but they just didn't build up to any big electrifying type, like you said, of chemistry or anything.
Yeah.
It was more like they were just kind of comfortable or protective of each other more than any big sizzling romance.
Right, right. And it felt more like a sibling.
Right, a very
energy to me. Yeah, like a big
very
brother.
Protective, yeah.
More than a lover.
Which might be a little creepy in itself, but hey.
I know. So did you have any particular scenes that you really liked?
Oh, gosh.
That stick out in your mind, no?
I'm trying to think.
Well, if you have to think, they don't really stick out.
I don't know. I guess they weren't that, I mean, but it was, like I said, it was just more like the overall picture that I did like the stronger woman character and and the little bit of magical element to it, and the suspense too, because you didn't know what you figured you knew she had to survive or there wouldn't be another book.
Right, right.
But you just were always afraid that something bad could happen with this poison element to the story.
Yeah. With these, this type of story where you know it continues, the danger to her life isn't about whether or not she will survive. It's more about how she survives. It's more about seeing how she gets through these things.
Right.
And that's, to me, what I did not excite me or just was boring to me. It was flat, you know? So, because, you know, like you said, you know she's not going, nothing's going to happen to her.
Yeah, she
finds a way to
day.
Exactly. She finds a way to survive all these challenges, and you know all the people, the millions of people who want to kill her, yet nobody does. Everybody's trying to kill her, but she somehow
she survives.
This little girl survives.
Well, that's, you know, you gotta have to have the so many stories. It's basically the struggle of good versus evil. So. This is sort of another prime example of that.
Yeah.
Since that's the underlying theme of most stories, especially a fantasy story like this or some other action type story, thrillers or whatever. But so there's got to be that struggle there. It would be totally flat. So you have to have some struggle. If things were too easy for her, you think, oh, how boring, you know, what's the risk in this? You know, how can she grow as a character if there's not too many risks or dangers all around her? Oh, I know what I probably, the thing that stood out for me is the first time she saw, Rayard as a ghost. That was pretty freaky to me.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, someone you'd kill, like all of a sudden they show up as a ghost.
And he was constantly with her too.
Right.
Rayard, right. I think his name was Rayard.
Rayard, yeah.
Rayard, he was constantly there, his ghost.
Yeah, so you think that kind of stood out. That was kind of freaky to think that you thought you got rid of somebody who had abused you and
raped her.
Just made your life hell, and here he kept popping up. He was still after you from beyond the grave.
Yeah.
And then everybody else blaming you for his death, even though you definitely did it in self-defense.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's kind of lame how she just told Valak at the end. She, like, okay, we didn't know she'd finally break and tell him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just wasn't for me. There was no suspense in that regard, you know? But a lot of people in the group liked it. So that's good. And we'll continue our discussion there.
Right.
Through email. So any final thoughts?
Well, I will read the other two books in the trilogy just to find out what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Not right away. Too many books, too little time. but I will continue on to see what happens to the characters and how this other thing, since Owen says magic study, maybe we can learn a little bit more about magics. It was interesting to learn about these poisons. I don't know if they're real or not, but I'm sure there's plenty out there still today. So that was sort of interesting about the butterfly dust and the rotten oranges, just like most people know that the cyanide has the almond smell to it. So that was a nice little factoid to learn about some of these poisons.
Yeah, that was good. Well, thank you everyone for listening. That's going to conclude our chat on Poison Study by Maria Lee Snyder. Please continue to leave us your comments. We really, really appreciate that you listen to our podcast, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. And stay tuned for next month's episode. We'll be discussing Forever by Pete Hamill. And that one, that should be an interesting read, right, Roberta?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So see everybody next month. Bye.
Bye.